creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
You're listening to Culture Click and our series on the Winona State University Winona Works Project, with interviews conducted by students in the Counselor Education Department. The project reflects and brings awareness to the diversity of Winona's working community. On this episode, we feature an interview conducted by Sarah Curtin with a Winona State University professor. This individual shares his rewarding experiences with students and how his work directly impacts the Winona community and his own life. You're listening to Culture Click on KQAL.
Okay. So our first question is, describe your current employment position.
I am the professor of biology, and also I'm the director of the Large River Study Center here at Winona State University.
And in what ways do your work duties and your work environment affect your well-being?
Well, it keeps me going. It gives me a reason to come in every morning. I'm always excited to come into work, even when I've got piles of tests and such to on my desk waiting for me to address those. But the dynamic of interacting with undergraduate students and helping them to develop, particularly in the area of having them participate with me in small groups on research projects over the course, they work over the course of a year. That really helps keep me fresh. It keeps me in my my field, staying current as we answer relevant questions. And then, of course, with the students, they're getting the benefit of actually applying what they've been doing in their research. Mm-hmm. And also learning how the process of science really occurs.
Good.
Basically how all that information eventually gets into books.
Right.
But I love what I do, and been doing it for quite a few years now. I don't want to try and count.
What changes would you make in your occupation, if any?
Fewer committees. But even that aside, I'd say that joking, but committees do have a value. One of them I'm a part of is our annual undergraduate research celebration, or celebration of research and creative scholarship. Mm-hmm. And even those types of environments are and that's a great environment because it allows students from across campus to share with faculty, staff, and administrators, and other students, what they've been doing, working one-on-one with a faculty member. So I don't know that there's really anything that I would change. The path that I've taken, I've been very happy with and very satisfied.
Tell me about your personal journey that has led you to your position and where you are today.
Well, I guess if I start back at the basics, I grew up on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Okay.
And I had a fascination with life in the ocean and in the coastal rivers that I fished in.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, used to spend a lot of time down at the beach on low tide watching the fiddler crabs as they sit there in the mills, wave their big pincher trying to attract a female over to them, and just was enthralled with this little dynamic that was taking place. And so early on, I wanted to be a biologist, and so I followed that path, studying and getting my bachelor's degree in undergraduate, my bachelor's degree in marine biology. But when it came time for moving on to graduate school, the opportunities that I was seeing for continuing my education in marine biology were limited, and also the things that they were talking about really didn't intrigue me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up working for a short period of time as first mate on a research boat.
Mm-hmm.
in the laboratory in my hometown. And from that I met the man who became my master's advisor. And so originally we were going to work with issues of crayfish, another invertebrate. That's basically at my heart. I'm an invertebrate biologist. Mm-hmm. I like studying spineless things. And so with that, went up initial for that, but we happened to have an opportunity to do some work on the Tennessee River, and that's where I got hooked on large rivers. Dynamic systems, not heavily studied at that time, a little better today. So I continued on with that, and of course, again, when I was ready to go on my PhD, there because there were so few people studying large rivers, I didn't have a lot of opportunities. But I decided, you know what, my education's been in the Southeast for my entire life. I need to go elsewhere. So I went out west, University of Idaho, and I worked on agriculturally impacted streams, looking at how ecosystem processes, how nutrient movement affects on what grows in the streams, the types of invertebrate communities they have, how those all interplay together with increased inputs of sediments and fertilizers. Mm-hmm. And that gave me a broader perspective of how systems work, and helped, even though it was in streams, helped transform the way I had thought about my field of biology. And so with that, when I went out looking for a job after getting my PhD, I came across a postdoctoral fellowship at University of Louisville, mm-hmm. working on the Ohio River. Mm-hmm. And so I was there for a year playing around on the Ohio River and getting to know that system when they advertised the position here to replace Dr. Cal Fremling, who had long been known in the area, noted river biologist, and was fortunate enough to land this position. Okay. And 20 years later, I'm still here. The science that I do is changed back and forth, but at heart, everything's been geared towards trying to understand the nature of river ecosystems, mm-hmm. both from a basic point of understanding, but also using that towards management and how we can protect and rehabilitate river systems.
That's an amazing story.
It is pretty cool. That was the abridged version.
And one of the first questions I was going to ask is how many different rivers have you worked in, and you answered that. But
actually, there's a few others in there. I said the Tennessee. I've worked on the Upper Mississippi River here. I've worked mm-hmm. on the Lower Mississippi River in Louisiana, okay. The Missouri River, also the Chippewa in this area where I've done research. Mm-hmm. Out west, I didn't work on rivers per se, but I played on some of the large rivers out there, okay. the Clearwater, the Snake, the Salmon, and gained an appreciation for those systems and how different they are mm-hmm. from the types of river systems I grew up on the coast, and even with my exposure on the Lower Mississippi River at that time. And of late, I've had the opportunities to collaborate with colleagues from Australia mm-hmm. and learn about the Australian rivers firsthand.
Oh, wow.
And that's a dynamic that continues on. So pretty much, probably in a nutshell, pretty much most of the major rivers in the eastern U.S. Okay. have been my playground for research.
And just because I'm curious, in your last 20 years, have you seen a huge change in the rivers and ecosystems, or has it been kind of the same?
I was fortunate enough in terms from a water quality perspective. Water quality had already started to make its turn by the time that I got here.
Okay.
Going back to the period of the 60s, where rivers were largely cesspools, especially around urban areas. But even then, still see a continuing increase in quality. Mm-hmm. There's other issues that are coming up that we're having to address. We still have sediment inputs that are a factor and are impacting aspects of the complexity of a river system like the Upper Mississippi River, with all its channels and islands and mm-hmm. little slack water habitats. So that's certainly been an issue. And of course, the big thing has been non-native species. I got here the year before zebra mussels showed up, and fortunately we do have some history on invertebrate community structure mm-hmm. From that and from earlier studies that were done by Dr. Fremling on invertebrate community structure in this area mm-hmm. To understand that. And then my food web work that has been the focus of my research for about the last dozen years is going to be a good groundwork as we deal with the potential that Asian carp and other potential non-native species that could have the potential to proliferate here would come in. So good changes, potentially bad changes, but overall that's the nice thing about a river. It does change. Mark Twain made the comment about having to relearn the river every year. Mm. So you do have this dynamic of where parts of the river at one scale mm-hmm. do change, but then you've got the permanence of the river, at least in a human time scale.
Right. Good. Can you tell me about the skills and attributes you have for this position?
As far as being both an educator and a researcher, I am an extrovert. I like having an audience. So that probably has been one of my greatest tools, and I think has allowed me to be able to develop collaborative relationships with other scientists here in the region, in the U.S., and then also with my colleagues in Australia and also in Europe. So that's probably been my single biggest benefit. Obviously, my education and the experiences that I've had over the course of my life, I've been able to draw from them. Mm-hmm. And but probably in terms of intellectually, maintaining that idea. It's a term that gets thrown out all the time, lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. But it really is true by continuing to read in my field. My niece gives me a hard time because she'll have, a science fiction book, which I used to love to read, science fiction, and I'll show her the book that I brought for reading while we're out camping, and it'll be like ecological networks or food web dynamics, something like that, and ask her if she wants to switch. She rolls her eyes, and of course, and then looks at me. But that's probably the single biggest tool in my box that benefits that. And also, I can't forget about the students. Mm-hmm. I've directed about 120 undergraduate research projects in the 20 years that I've been here.
Wow.
And the dynamic and having the students participate and be a part of my team working on these projects has been a great contribution to what we've been able to do with the Large River Study Center.
That's good. What do you find challenging, satisfying, or rewarding in your position?
Challenging, probably the single biggest challenge is that they quit denying my requests for 48-hour days with the same amount of sleep that I normally have for 24, because there is so much that I would like to do. It's like everything else, time is always the biggest challenge, mm-hmm. And especially in this type of environment where we have classroom instruction. But also, if you have a desire for research, you try to incorporate that as best as you can. You find ways of doing those, allocating time, mm-hmm. without sacrificing family time. And I've been fortunate. I was actually able last November, December to go down and spend a month in Australia working mm-hmm. with my colleagues down there, mm-hmm. and find ways of going to meetings and such. The big reward is, for me personally, is feeling that I've contributed to my science and that I will continue to contribute to science, my science, until my wife makes me retire. And that is one of the big rewards. And the other one's my students, seeing my students and the realization that I have students now who are on the faculty at universities. Mm-hmm. And not only do I have academic children, I have academic grandchildren, which is a really sad thing to think about. And your professional mortality starts to show its face, but that still is a great reward. Seeing what my students have done, I always enjoy it when one of the former members of the lab have come back or dropped me a note, let me know what's going on. They got this job. Here's a paper that I just published. Mm. We just had another kid. Those types of things. Those are big rewards.
Right. How has your current employment affected your personal, family, and social life?
Not really sure what a social life is. I like to say that I'm a curmudgeon in training, mm-hmm. but I think because of having a family now and starting a family fairly late compared to what other people would, my early 50s, and I have I better say 13-year-old daughter, because if I say 12, she'll be upset. and having incorporating that into your life, the social aspect becomes less. Still find ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Golfing with the guys, but I also find a lot of happiness in just going out in my boat by myself and getting away from everything. So that's kind of the mm-hmm. curmudgeon side coming in. No matter what I want to achieve professionally, the family is always going to take precedence. But with my wife as a true partner, you know, when I have other things that I have to do or I need to travel for some reason, you know, we work it out together so that she's able to take on some of those responsibilities, mm-hmm. you know, to give me a little bit of a break, and then I do the same for her when the needs arise. But right. I'm impressed that in the 12 years that we've had our daughter, I've only missed one of her school activities.
That's awesome.
So mm-hmm. it's another part of the complications of being wanting to do the things that excite me and keep me interested, mm-hmm. but also recognizing that family's priority.
Actually, this is the last question already. How do you feel that you impact the Winona community through your work?
Well, my biggest hope, because one of the missions of the Large River Study Center is to serve as a source of information for the local community, the regional community, nationally and internationally, mm-hmm. so the local community is part of that, is providing them with information about the river, things that they wouldn't normally think about. We have an aquarium that I take care of in the atrium of the science complex, and it's not a crystal clear aquarium. Mm-hmm. And the fish are not tropical fish swimming around right. in there. They're river fish, and it looks like a river. The water's a little mm-hmm. murky because we've got some wood in there, and it's releasing compounds that darken the water, and there's duckweed floating on the top, which also serves as a biological filter. But, you know, that's one little way, and what we try to do is we try to put fish in there that people normally wouldn't see or think of mm-hmm. and get them thinking about that and putting up information and saying, you know, this is a river aquarium. It's not meant to be this crystal clear thing. But the whole idea is trying to, you know, serve as a source of information if people have questions about the river or there's an issue that they're not certain of mm-hmm. Where the current status is on that. And that serves both the general community but also the scientific community that we have in this region as well.
Right.
When you bring in La Crosse and the Minneapolis-St. Paul area mm-hmm. and then some of the other, you know, University of Wisconsin systems.
Right. And do you have the general public often contact you about things on the river, or is it?
Yeah, usually if there is a river question that comes up, our public relations office directs the question to me.
And yeah.
I have periodically given talks at local schools.
Okay.
In fact, I think most recently I gave a talk at one of the classes on crayfish, mm. and I've also participated with some of the Environmental Day activities that go on at some of the schools in the area.
Okay. How would Winona be different if your job did not exist?
Well, you know, it's kind of a legacy question, and it's a little self-aggrandizing sometimes, but as far as that affect the Winona community, I'm not sure, but certainly within Winona State, I think because of what I've brought in terms of the opportunities that I offer students in the classroom, and particularly through research, mm-hmm. we've established a national and international reputation as a center for river studies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the university certainly has benefited from that, and I've benefited from being associated with the university. So it's a nice two-way exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to feel that Winona State has gotten a good return on their investment.
Okay.
In that regard. So, but yeah, as far as the general community, I'm not real certain.
I just have a question on the side, too. The Large River Research Center, when exactly, you've been here for about 20 years, did you start that right away, or was it?
I set the seeds for it in place mm-hmm. early on. We didn't formalize that as a Large River Study Center until around 1995.
Okay.
But we were certainly doing the work, but that was part of my mission, is by getting students involved early, getting some grant money in, getting some nice projects going.
Mm-hmm.
I did get my first research space at the end of my first year here because I brought mm-hmm. in some grant money and I already had students engaged in research. Now that first research space was a classroom in the basement of Stark Hall that just happened to have some cabinets and a sink in it,
mm-hmm.
which comes in really handy if you're bringing in samples from the river and you need to wash them out. But still, it was space that we used for research. You know, we were very limited on space at that time. But now we're fortunate now that when we built this new complex, we were able to get a space that was dedicated for the Large River Study Center. We were also able, from the part of the money from the building allocated towards equipment, we were able to purchase equipment that allowed both the science to expand it, but also the experiences that the students were getting by participating in my Ecology of Large Rivers class and in research, where they benefited from the presence of those.
Good. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
A big thank you goes out to the entire Department of Counselor Education at Winona State University and the students that participated in the Winona Works project. We would also like to thank all the members of our community that agreed to be interviewed for the Winona Works project. You've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.